It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Morena, I'm great, thanks, Rachel. Yeah, it's one of those days where it's going to be cloudy, might get a bit of drizzle, but nothing good enough. It's either should be sunny or it should be raining, but it doesn't seem to be able to making its be able to make its mind up. That's the way it goes in Auckland.
A classic Auckland day, then. Sounds about right. Hey, we're at level one, which is really good news. Some other good news for Tamaki Makaurau is that a couple of new tracks, or old tracks, have reopened in the Waitakere Ranges after some more measures have been put in place to basically protect it so that we don't get rampant spread of Cody dieback. Now, this is a very positive thing. Are we seeing, good practices around the tracks this summer?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the good news is that there are far fewer trespass notices being issued for people going onto tracks that are closed because of the risk of spreading Kauri dieback disease. And we've actually now succeeded in upgrading and reopening 71 kilometres of tracks. And the ones that we did on Sunday morning were Omanawanui and Pururi Ridge tracks, which head down towards Whatapu. Mm-hmm. And I did one of them, which was about an hour and three-quarter trek. My legs are still feeling the effects of it. But really spectacular views across the Manukau Harbour. And a really good trek. I did it, part of it, with Sarah Hillary, whose dad, obviously, the Hillary track is named after. But, it's just fantastic. Boardwalks over sensitive areas, so you're not damaging roots, you're not spreading the disease, safer to walk on. Something like, I think it's 3,000 new steps have been built on the two tracks. 1,000 tonnes of gravel put on it. So a big investment, and it's part of the National Environment Targeted Rate program, but really good from the viewpoint of the thousands of people who walk on those mm-hmm. tracks, and really good from the viewpoint of protecting our, these tracks go right through, you touch the kauri trees as you go through them. Really good from the viewpoint of preventing the spread of the dieback disease.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, though, and less good news for around the Manukau area environmentally, there was this massive chemical spill about a week and a half ago now, and we're seeing ongoing fallout from that. Last week, I think there was a report that about 100 eels were found dead in one of the rivers after the chemical compound spilled into the stormwater drain. And also people have been warned not to swim in that area for about a 5 kilometre radius around where the spill went out. So that covers Mangere Bridge, Taumanu East, Taumanu Central, Taumanu West and Onehunga Lagoon as well. This is like a lot of our sort of urban sort of swimming areas. And what's happening with it at the moment? Is it safe to get back in the water yet?
Yep.
And what's going on with the company in question?
Yeah, well, the spill took place on the 11th of February, so that's 12 days ago now. So the impact of the spill, from the bed to the best of my knowledge, is now over. It was, as you said, affecting Taumanu, Mangere Bridge and Onehunga. There was something like 5,000 litres of a chemical called methacrylate, if I've got the pronunciation of that right, that was spilled, and that was, up towards Mount Wellington Way, and then went through the stormwater system. So we immediately went out with environmental health and pollution experts, Fire and Emergency New Zealand, Auckland Regional Public Health. It's supposedly a low toxicity chemical, but can cause nasal irritation, headaches, and obviously was deadly for eels and some of the fish and some of the bird life. It travelled down a stormwater drain. We put up warning signs immediately. The health risk, I'm told, was extremely low, but we always work on a precautionary basis. So we've now done the work of collecting the dead wildlife. Now there's an investigation underway, and that investigation will determine whether a prosecution is taken against the company. It was not a deliberate release into the environment. Mm-hmm. It was an accidental release. But that still renders the business concerned vulnerable to a prosecution under Section 15(1)(d), I think, of the Resource Management Act. And the penalties there, the maximum penalties are pretty high. It can be as high as $600,000 fine and 2 years imprisonment. Now, this was not a case that would have justified a penalty like that. But it's a case that they're still considering whether they wish to prosecute or simply take a lesser step of an infringement notice against the company. Now, that's not something that I become involved in. It's a decision made on the merits of the case, and then it's a matter before the Environment Court to determine. But I have asked questions about, you know, why they weren't meeting the requirements under the Auckland Unitary Plan for being able to prevent any spill of a hazardous substance from going into the stormwater. So I'm quite interested to see what precautionary measures, look, accidents do happen, but you have to actually prepare for accidents and to stop that contamination. And, every time something like this happens, it is a matter of real concern, and I expect the council and the Environment Court to follow up appropriately.
And no one, I think, no one's under any false pretenses about the glamorous nature of our stormwater system in Auckland. What is happening with that? Because this is a problem we have every summer where, you know, beaches get too polluted just with general runoff after a massive rain for people to be able to go and swim. That's part of the nature of living in a big city that's on a coastline. But, you know, there are things we could be doing to mitigate that. Yeah, what is the council's position on that at the moment?
The council's position is to put a $2 billion, that's B for billion, dollar investment into making sure that we don't get stormwater flooding into wastewater, causing wastewater to flood into our beaches. And there are hundreds of beaches around the city which for nearly a century, every time it rains, you'll get that spill. And in particular, the beaches around the older areas of the city, but also some areas of the Manukau. And what we're doing there, well, we've got the Central Interceptor going through. That's $1.1 billion just by itself. And that's a huge, 14-kilometre long wastewater tunnel. It's so big that you could stand a giraffe in it, literally. And it's about 4.5 metres wide. And that will cut the overflows into the harbour by about 80% or all around the Western Isthmus on the Waitemata and some of the areas of the Manukau. We're also separating stormwater, sometimes you see big works through the roading and some of the older areas of the city so that the stormwater doesn't go into the wastewater. We're doing something down at St. Mary's Bay at the moment, which means that we will recycle any of that wastewater contaminated stormwater back into the wastewater line. But if we can't, because of a huge overflow, it goes right out into the middle of the channel. So that's a big project. So there are things happening. Effectively by 20 years the program to stop those wastewater spills, but it will take a decade to do it and a lot of money.
I was going to ask you on the timeline, but you answered my question already there. So let's talk about one thing that just opened yesterday, and it's the Auckland Recovery Budget's consultation process. So this is our post-COVID situation for Tamaki Makaurau. What kind of consultation are you looking for? And if people, are interested in this, what ways can they get involved?
Yeah, well, we're running a series of events right across Auckland. So, for example, this Saturday I'm going up to the Helensville AMP show, and we'll have a council stand there where, we've got information on what the recovery budget is about. There's stuff going out. You can get I'm just trying to find the email address, and just because I'm looking for it now, I can't see it immediately in front of me. But we usually get thousands of online responses to the survey. We're doing a Colmar Brunton survey. It's done totally independently, so we can get feedback on whether people like what our investment is in infrastructure, what we're doing about climate change, what we're doing about water quality, which we've just talked about, what we're doing about community investment, about specific rating policies, and also about local board priorities. We'll be having formal meetings where people from regional stakeholders can come along and make submissions. We'll be doing online webinars so that people can join online and ask questions and, mm-hmm. and have their say. So yeah, really pulling out all the stops to try to get feedback, and that will run from day before yesterday through to the 22nd of March. So really encourage people to do that. If you look in the Herald this morning, I've done an op-ed piece on what the recovery budget is about. So that just gives you a bit of insight. And our Auckland site also has a whole lot of information about it. So really encourage people, not just lobby groups, but ordinary Aucklanders, to have a look at what we're doing and give us feedback on what they like, what they don't like about it. But, you know, big issues like $31 billion worth of investment going mm-hmm. into infrastructure, the climate change, the new things we're doing to phase out diesel buses, plant more native trees as carbon sinks, what I've talked about with water quality, what we do with our ageing community facilities, which are becoming quite expensive to maintain, all of that sort of stuff. So a lot there. But the questionnaire itself is quite a short one, and it gives a summary of each of the areas of what we're trying to do, and then gives you the opportunity to tick a box and also to make comments.
Definitely an important thing to be involved with. Hey, thank
you. Absolutely.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. I hope you have a good week at Level 1 again. And,
yeah, great to be back and normality, but don't let your guard down because COVID-19 is still out there around the world.
Is.
I see 500,000 people, the death rate in the United States coming close to 500,000 people. Mm. So you realise how fortunate we are in containing it, but that's because of the efforts of all of us. So please do the things that you need to do.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Ka kite. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you very much.